Deep in the heart of Appalachia, guys set out on a quest to create the greatest podcast.
Sorry, dude. I thought we agreed on the correct pronunciation of Appalachia.
No, dude. We've talked about this. We've talked about this over and over and over. It's pronounced Appalachia.
Listen, freaking angels and the women got together. That's how we got Bigfoot. That's how we got vampires. That's why we got all of this stuff.
These ancient Appalachian mountains that are literally older than bones. There's old entities here. When you start finding out more about them, they start finding out more about you.
Good Lord, sir. This goose has gone rabid. You think you're just going to run up with your little sword on the king of the goose squad?
Listen, the old entities of Middle Appalachia are unexplainable. They are eerie.
Breach.
And they are one of these things that will keep us, the hill folks, and the people who live in the area, constantly searching for answers. That they probably will never, ever find. And this is why we love Appalachian Intelligence.
Hey there, Hill Folk, and welcome back to another episode of Appalachian Intelligence. We are extremely thankful that y'all could join us again for another week, for another edition of AI. With you tonight, you only get two-thirds of us. You ain't getting the full host assembly ever. But it's a different two-thirds tonight. Tonight, your hosts, Justin and Ryan. Ryan, how are you tonight, buddy?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you tonight?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm excited for this conversation that we're going to get into. I'm glad to have you back, man. I am glad to have you back. It's been a minute. The Hill Folk have been missing you. They've been screaming for more Ryan. I haven't even said anything on here about your absence, because I know that only draws more people out. And as the crowd favorite, I mean, sometimes this is what you get, you know, it's what you get.
Yeah. You got to always leave them wanting more, right? That's what they say in showbiz. But,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
no, it's just been a crazy hectic time, really. Dealing with a lot of crap.
I get it. The Hill Folk definitely get it. We all understand. A move here and a move there, and you tried to leave the mountains, and they called you right back home, and then a new job and different stuff. We get it, man. We get it. Life hits hard sometimes. That's why it's awesome there's three of us. We can jump in, and even though, you know, we've not been as consistent either, but hey, that's part of it. We're thankful that you Hill Folk, that you loyal Hill Folk stick around and love us enough to just be there whenever we're there. We appreciate that a ton. We'll jump into this thing tonight like we usually do. You know, when we get love, we like to throw a little love back out. So we're going to read this week's five-star review. It comes from Skunk Bear! It says, 5 stars, different kind of Hill Folk. Writing this review from the Texas Hill Country, one of my favorite podcasts. Even though we are in different regions of the country, I feel like these dudes have more relatable content than most others in the genre. Spent lots of time in the Texas Hill Country and have lots of weird stories. Keep putting it out there. Look forward to every new show, E. So, E, Skunk Bear, we appreciate that 5-star review. We really, really, really do. And look, like we say on here all the time, I don't care what part of the country, what part of the world you're from, we're all Hill Folk at heart. We are all Hill Folk at heart. So you ain't a different kind of Hill Folk, Skunk Bear. You are the right kind of Hill Folk. Always remember that. But with us tonight, hold up. We got three-thirds of the host of AI with us here tonight.
Three-thirds, that's a hole.
Three-thirds makes one hole.
Three-thirds makes one.
And speaking of that hole, there he is. And no, we're not talking about the B-hole, Lance.
That's unfortunate. I wish we were.
I don't know what Justin was talking about.
Lance, I haven't introduced him yet. Quit coming in and ruining my...
I totally just ruined everything.
You always do this. You always come in late.
My introduction. I'm doing the introduction. Then. I have no catchy three-line phrases that accurately depict the genius that is Things That Go Bump in the Night on the Bump podcast. But what I do have is a description of one man, Bo, who may be the most genuine, absolutely fantastic individual I've ever had the pleasure of meeting in the podcast realm. Bo, welcome to Appalachian Intelligence.
I think I'm going to cry, man. Thank you.
Justice is probably a whole lot better. That's what I could come up with in the spur of the moment.
You know, no, I think you win.
I feel so honored to have all three of you here. This is the trifecta. You know, this don't happen. I love it.
I'm pretty honored to have all three of us here. This is awesome.
Here's what's crazy too. I just got home from church. We just got home from youth group. So the girls are actually in the bath right now. I came busting in here because I wanted to make sure I was at least in here for a few seconds as we got started to say what's up. And that it's a pleasure meeting you in person. I'm so happy to have you here on us with us tonight. I will probably be in and out for the next 15 or 20 minutes as we get the girls down. But
remember the sleeper.
Listen, they got 1-5, 1-3. You got to get them to bed. It's wild on Wednesdays around
here. Yeah, man. I remember those days.
Oh, well, that was a really good intro. I mean, just spur of the moment, off the cuff. I was just going to say a bastion to a body of believers with a belief in the boogers that go bump in the night.
Yeah, that's – I don't even like that now. after Lance's intro, I don't even like that one.
But no, honestly and for real, Lance is totally 1,000% being honest in this. We had the pleasure of hanging out with Bo a couple weekends back at 40 and Airwaves in Ada, Ohio at the podcast conference, which, you know, I've talked and met Bo, you know, a couple different times at this point. Bo was one of the first podcasts out there that we kind of started collaborating with, and he was gracious enough from early on in our beginnings, I think like 5 or 6 episodes deep, Bo was like, yeah, man, come on and talk. You know, we got the same kind of cornbread accents. I know we're close together. let's talk. But Bo is as genuine a human being as you'll ever meet in your entire life. He honestly cares about the work that he's doing in all facets, whether it's teaching school or whether it's hosting his podcast. He's got a heart for Christ, and he's got a heart for loving and helping people. And you can hear it in his podcast. You can see it in what he does. And it's a pleasure to have him on here tonight. So, Bo, let's get into it, man. It's good to have you on.
Hey, thank you so much, man. I appreciate that. It's hard to be humble with you guys around, man. Yeah. I appreciate it, man. Hey, before we get into it, whatever the topic was we were supposed to do today, I can't remember. It was one of two things, and I can't remember which one it was, so I brought notes.
Good.
But 40 and Airwaves. There's something that I didn't tell you. I told Eric about it. He messaged me that Sunday night or Monday or whatever, and I told him what happened. But you remember when it was my blog, my segment or whatever, and I got up there and I spoke, and I put that open invitation out.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Dude, somebody came up to me and gave their life to the Lord at that paranormal conference.
Up on really, the second man? Floor
of that place. Yes.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
They had been dealing with all kinds of spiritual attacks, and we sat up there and just let him go through everything, man. And he did the confession of faith and the whole 9 yards. Like he gave his life to the Lord.
Dude, that's and awesome.
That's why I went. It has to be, you know?
Well, and it's like you said, you know, you had something totally different planned, and you went up there and look, let's just call it for what it was. You went up there and preached the gospel, brother. That's what you did. You brought the word, and it may have been just for that one person. I mean, the Lord may have set that out and geared it in that direction just because that one person was there. But you know what? You just talking about that. What was so crazy to me, man, was, yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Four of the six podcasts that were out there are, you know, we're really open in our faith. You know, we're all followers of Christ and we're open with it. Four of the six, but each person that went up there during their live show talked about Jesus Christ and how much power was in the name of Jesus Christ. Each show.
Which blows
my mind, dude, that you go to a paranormal podcast conference with people from all over the place, different genres, you know, different areas, different set of beliefs and thoughts and worldviews, but each and every single person talked about Jesus Christ, talked about how much power is in the name. That blew my mind, dude. And to know that somebody actually surrendered their life to Christ while they were there, that's awesome. That's awesome.
It is awesome. Yeah. It was surreal. You know, I thought, wow, this is going to happen right here. And man, it was just so good. And I had to share it with somebody else and to get it out there on air, like to the public, because that was just like, I've been keeping that inside, man. Like, it was just our little secret. And I won't say his name, but he'll probably listen to this. And I love him. Like, we've kept in touch. He went out and bought a study Bible. Like, he's all in, you know what I mean? So
nice.
It's good.
That's awesome, man. That is awesome. And even with Ryan, you know, even though Ryan's shooting for purgatory at best, I mean, still, you know, he's in it.
That's right.
He's in it.
He's getting there.
In what?
Whatever. Whatever you choose to get in.
Whatever I'm getting into.
The flow of the day.
Tell you what, no more white panel vans, I can tell you that.
Well, no, but we had talked about a couple of different things. You had brought up to me that you had a kind of a new confirmation for you with Bigfoot, I think was one of the things we had talked about. Well, let's just get into that. That's the first thing that popped in my brain. So let's just get into it. Let's get into Bo's thoughts on Bigfoot. And first, beforehand, since you've actually never really been just you on this show, you had sort of a Bigfoot experience, maybe, possibly, kind of, sort of, at one point. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that and then lead into your theory and why you think what you think.
Yeah, man, absolutely. You know, since I've never been on the show, I'll slow it way down and say, my name is Bo Kennedy. I'm the host of the Bump podcast. Bump is an acronym. It stands for the Believers of the Unexplained, Monsters, and Paranormal. I have just over 200 episodes available at this point. I'm on all podcast platforms, all social media, YouTube. If you get into the weird, if you're listening to this, you get into weird already. So I would love to have you guys come check out the show. My Bigfoot experience, or Bigfoot-ish experience, happened when I was squirrel hunting down here. There's a wildlife management area just off of Chief Logan State Park, about 3 miles from my house. And I was down in this swag, and it started raining. And I was already out there, so I wasn't going to go, you know, pack it up or anything else. And I know that as soon as the rain's over with, the squirrels like to come back out anyway, you know, because that's what they do. So I was sitting there and just waiting for the rain to die out. And while it was sprinkling, man, like, I'm sitting on the edge of you know how it is here. Like, it's like a road or it's a mountainside. You're not much in between. So I'm sitting there just on this, just like up against a tree, steep hillside behind me. And I hear what sounded like, and I'm not trying to sound weird or anything, but it sounded almost like an Asian lady giggling, like laughing, you know, and just had that kind of tone to it. And I thought, that's kind of weird, because I know there's no hikers out here during squirrel season in a wildlife management area in the rain. Like, and it's not like we have a huge Asian population. So it's like, it would be really hard for all these things to be happening right now. And so I heard that going on, and the rain died out. Squirrel comes out. I shoot it. I go over there and I get my squirrel. I come back, and I might be getting one or two of these things like out of sequence, but this is pretty much should be how I remember it at least. So I go over there, I get my squirrel, and I bring it back, and I hear in that same spot, it sounded like, you know, like if you fall on your butt, how you like that, the wind kind of comes out of you, you go like, oomph, you know, or if you like sling a softball or something and it's a little heavy, you got to grunt with it. I heard that kind of noise. And as soon as I heard that, I was already kind of edgy because I heard this chattering behind me, this laughing. So I turned. And as soon as I heard that oomph, I hear a thump. And I turn around to look, and there's a tree branch, probably about the size of your wrist, going in a helicopter motion, like bouncing off the tree behind me and going over to my right. I could understand if like a tree limb breaks, you know, that happens, you know, it had just rained, but it was going in a helicopter kind of way, you know, like a horizontal spin, not a end over end kind of spin. So it's kind of weird. And just with that and the noise and, you know, the vocalizations and stuff, man, it is kind of, it creeped me out. So I turned my camera on. I stood there, tried to film everything, tried so I could go back and look at it later. I stuck around for about 15 or 20 minutes because I was just like, this is my moment. You know what I mean? Like I'm going to be the one to die with a handful of Bigfoot hair. And it didn't happen. It didn't show up. But it was enough of an experience to get me on a really popular TV show.
So, yeah, man.
It was fun.
Sent you to Finding Bigfoot. Got you on Wes Germer's show, Sasquatch Chronicles. Started up your own podcast. It's been super successful. It's crazy how one little bitty event can just catapult all this weirdness.
Yeah.
But no, dude, it's wild. It's crazy. I mean, to me, sounds like a Bigfoot encounter. I mean, just the sound, you know, the samurai chatter that they talk about, you know, just the way the branch was coming, it sounds to me a lot like it. And you know as well as I do, the majority of these reports, the accounts that come out, well, I'm not going to say majority, but a huge portion of these accounts, you know, the people never even see anything. It's
right.
A bunch of audible stuff. It's noises. It's stuff getting thrown. It's a shadow or something that's here to there, you know. It is weird. It's really weird, dude.
Yeah. And that area, you know, I worked at Chief Logan Park for like 4 years while I was going through college. And I had several experiences in that park, like the Ohio Howl, you know, that you've heard it like that, almost like a siren.
Yeah.
I've heard that. I had some weird stuff. I talked about it on Wes's show. Just there were several things that went on there that was kind of odd. And there was a few mornings where I'd go out there before the sun come up, you know, to get settled in to go hunting in that wildlife management area. And there was a couple times, man, I was so spooked I couldn't get out of the truck. Like I sat there until the sun came up. And why? I've been in the woods all my life. But I'm like, no, I'll sit here until I can.
Yeah. So, well, you know, I mean, you're just, you know, 3 hours almost directly north of us, right in the middle of these central Appalachian mountains. And it's I did a lot of pipeline and in and around Logan, you know, especially Chief Logan State Park, you know, several years ago. I was only out of high school for a few years. I was in the gas field and we did some pipelining up in that area. And I mean, it's just like being right here at home. You know, it's the woods are the same. There's places that you go, man, it feels off. I mean, there's some places that you're okay and it's just a normal day. And then other places you walk into and you're like, I don't know about this. I'll make sure I got some buddies around me here. So, I mean, yeah, I get it, dude. Like, you know,
so we can all die together.
Yeah. So we can all die together.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, well, I mean, both of you guys, I mean, you know how it is. You're both Air Force vets. You gotta have a buddy system in these dangerous situations.
Gotta have a wingman to go down with. Yeah,
absolutely. But yeah, man, it is. That's a cool encounter. I'm glad that you didn't die with a handful of Bigfoot hair, because then the government would have just hid your body and its body, and nobody would still known anything. So I'm glad you just went on to talk about it a whole lot and interview a whole lot of other people.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, now that we've got here, I mean, it's a pretty good spot.
So let's get into your theories on this thing. Let's get into your theories on the big guy. And I think that I may have an idea, because, you know, mm-hmm. I'm a fan of the Bump podcast. I listen in. So I think I know where this may be going, but let's get it out there.
Let's All get right, it out you ready?
Bo's thoughts on the big guy. That's what I'm going to title this
My thoughts
episode.
On Bigfoot. I've kept this. I felt like kind of close to the vest, because the Bigfoot world is like a dog eat dog kind of place, man. Like, by saying this, I stand a chance of losing half of the people that follow me because of Wes Garmer. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's like it's a one or the other kind of camp for most people. And I don't know why it can't be an and kind of right. situation, not or, you know? But we all hear these stories about how, it's just a disembodied voice that you hear, or you'll get this and don't see anything, or it shows up, but then you shoot it and it blinks out of existence, or you find these tracks and they go out and they just stop in the middle of nowhere and there's nowhere for it to have jumped to. It just looks like it just disappeared. And then there's times where you see it sitting there eating. It might grab you and shake you or whatever. I had a buddy, Dennis. It got a hold of him while he was in his hammock. One grabbed a hold of his hammock and screamed at him, but nobody else heard it. It was weird. People saw it, but they didn't hear anything vocal. But it's just all this weird stuff that don't make sense, right? Well, I cannot remember. I should have written down the episode numbers and all this stuff, but I had a lady. Her name was Denise. The episode was called, I think it was like Face to Face or something like that. It was the first time Denise came on the show. She lived over in Pennsylvania. And she was telling me about this Bigfoot encounter that she had, where it lived out in the woods, and she lived in this trailer park near, you know, adjacent to the woods. And she would go out there to walk her dog, and the dog would get freaked out. And then she heard it sounded like trees falling. She freaked out. They went back, and it started this relationship and this curiosity with this Bigfoot creature out there. And she would leave him gifts, and he would leave her gifts in return. And she got to where she named him Harry. And sometimes he would appear. There'd be a little light. And she sent me pictures of these orbs that would show up around her house and stuff outside. And it didn't look like a flashlight or anything. It was like a little self-contained, you know, like an actual orb. It looked legit. And he presented himself to her once or twice, let her see him. But then he started talking to her telepathically, you know, or mind speak or whatever they call it. So Harry starts talking to Denise. And now this woman had no education in ancient cultures and religions and all that kind of stuff. Okay. I don't know where she worked at, but it was not in seminary or anything like that. But this creature starts talking to her and telling her that the Bible's a little wrong. You know, that she needs to be looking at these other books, and starts giving her some other texts to look at, and recommends that she look at these things, and told her that he was, and she didn't know how to pronounce it at the time. She spelled it out to me, but he told her that he was an Eliud, and he was trying to seek redemption. And this relationship goes on. I brought her back I wound up having Denise on my show 3 times. And by the time it was over with, it was almost like Harry was, he had backed off trying to lead her astray. He was giving her, like, you know, warnings about things. I think he had admitted that Christ is Lord. And this is a Bigfoot, okay? Don't forget that this is like a Bigfoot creature, and it's telling her all this stuff. But I get Gary Wayne on the show, and the episode sounded like trash because my audio kept screwing up because I have West Virginia internet, and he was all choppy. But when I was talking to Gary, I asked him about this because it was on my mind heavy back then. And I asked him if he had ever heard of an Eliud, you know, what that was. And this is Gary Wayne talking. He said that he only found it in like 1 or 2 references in everything he's researched. And what an Eliud is the offspring of a Nephilim. So we have Watcher, fallen angel, Nephilim, Eliud. Okay. And so this is the disembodied spirit of an Eliud, and it manifests itself as this Sasquatch looking creature. And it kind of goes in and out of this physical realm to where it can pick up things, tangible items, relocate it, leave her gifts, speak into her mind, but then just appear as an orb or just the voice, you know? And I thought, man, she might be onto something. You know, this is kind of weird. And I just sat on that for, man, that was probably 1.5 years ago that I talked to her that last time. And I was like, okay, this sounds good. Because if we look in the Bible, and I know there's like, do you all listen to Blurry Creatures?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Okay. I listen to them pretty regularly.
Okay. They always have this guy on there, Tim Alberino, right? And Tim's always like, angels are physical beings and they drive, you know, Volkswagen UFOs or whatever. I've heard Tim all I can stand. I get that. And yeah, I see that in the Bible, angels are physical, but angels are also spiritual. Okay, and if we're dealing with a heavenly kind of being, you know, and that's where I have to put, that's the same camp I have to put these Eliud into, because we know, thanks to the Book of Enoch sitting here, that demons are the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim, right? And so their offspring would also not have a place to go. They can't ascend, they can't descend until it's judgment, and then they'll go down forever. But in the meantime, these Eliud are stuck here too. But that doesn't mean they can't manifest, you know, to appear real or to do things, poltergeist kind of stuff, because it happens, right? I mean, my kitchen cabinets have slammed shut before. What happened? Some kind of energy was strong enough to move that. So these angels in the Bible, they come out and they ate with what? Who was it? Abraham? They sat down and ate with him.
Abraham, you know? And Lot, all those guys in Sodom.
Yeah, Angel of the Lord even got into a wrestling match. So they can get very physical. But then you have the angels where, like Psalm 91, he will charge his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways, right? They'll bear you up in their hands. So they're not physical in that aspect. You know, they're standing sentry around us in the spiritual realm. So they have to be in both camps. So I sat on this idea of these Eliud being possible, you know, like it being a thing. Then a few weeks ago, and that episode actually just released today, at the time we're recording this, I did an episode with this woman, this young lady, that I found her on TikTok when she had like, I don't know, 2,000 followers. And then by the time I released the episode, she had already got up to like 24,000 followers. So like she's booming because she's sharing her story, man. It is not Bigfoot related to her, but she's sharing her story. Her name's Megan Nicole. She converted from witchcraft into Christianity. And just the things she was talking about, I saw it. I was like, man, this sounds awesome. I want to get her on her show, on my show, and have her tell her full testimony. Because she keeps telling little snippets. I want the whole thing. So she came on, told the whole show, right? Told the whole story, everything that went on. Loved it. Towards the end, and here's a spoiler alert. I don't know when you guys are releasing this or whatever. It might be a month from now, but towards the end, she's talking, man, about how all my life I've had this spirit, you know, that I thought was my spirit guide, and he would come to me, but it was so weird because he looked like a big ape man. He looked like he was half monkey and half man, and I named him Jason. And he would tell me this and that, and he had all this knowledge, and I was like, what did he look like? You know, can you describe him? And she's like, yeah, his face was kind of like, it wasn't quite a monkey, it wasn't quite an ape, but it was kind of like human, but he was just massive. He's like 9 feet tall and, you know, 4 feet wide and just covered in hair like an ape. And I was like, okay. That's a friggin' Eliud, and it's the same guy. She's down in North Carolina, you know, like it's still at, it's our mountains. So that for me, that kind of confirmed it. It's just like there's too many things pointing that way. And I know two anecdotal stories, you shouldn't put all your eggs into the one basket, but I am, man, because I think everything is connected. I've always said everything's real and everything's connected. And I think this is the connection. I think, you know, not to say everything's demons. Pretty much everything's a demon. You know what I mean? Like, if it's not of the Lord, it's going to be something of the devil, right? So in my black and white world, I think Bigfoot, here I go. I think Bigfoot or Eliud, man. I think they're the offspring of Nephilim. And, yeah, that's where I'm going to stop at.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. You heard it here first. Bigfoot,
that's it,
are the grandchildren of the fallen angels, of the Watchers. There you go. You got Grandpappy Azazel rotting in his chains down in the abyss, still throwing in mob hits to the big feets running through these mountains.
Yeah. I challenge anyone out there to prove him wrong.
Yes, yeah. Please do.
Yeah. I challenge you. Prove him wrong. You can't do it. Everybody, you're right about the Bigfoot world. It's ridiculous.
It is, man.
How dog eat dog it is. Like, how can you ever learn anything if you know everything already? But
right. Yet
you have zero evidence of any Bigfoot ever.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Well, for anybody interested in those, in that Eliud trilogy that Bo was talking about, that's season 3, episode 30, season 3, episode 7, and season 3, episode, or no, excuse me, season 2, episode 30, season 3, episode 7, and season 3, episode 29 on the Bump Podcast. So be sure to go check that out.
Thank you.
I was trying to do my homework real quick while you were over here. I was like, oh, man. But yeah, it's, well, you know, and I'm kind of with you on this. That would explain, because again, I've said on here 1,000 different times, I believe that all of these things that people are seeing and encountering is spiritual in some form.
Yeah.
And I say that because, and you brought up an excellent point. When you have slamming cabinets in your house, it's poltergeist, ghost activity. When you have stuff slamming in the woods, it's Bigfoot. It's some kind of cryptid activity. When you have, you know, all these things, depending on where you're at, they get labeled a different thing, but they're really the same thing. I mean,
right. You
know, this lady that you talked to, she saw this Jason creature, this gorilla, I think she said it a couple times, in her bedroom. So I mean, right. She literally had a gigantic gorilla man in her bedroom that knew everything about her. But it's one of those things, like, because you do hear so many accounts, and you talked about the physical aspect of it, of where people see these things, and it literally just sounds like a flesh and blood animal. You know, it's just reacting and just going about their day as any normal creature in the woods would be. So for me, and kind of putting the pieces together from listening to you and having the conversations with you as to where I thought your line of thinking was going with this, and then trying to look at it from my end, from my point of view. Okay, so we know the demonic. They take on the form, or can take on the form, of a lot of animals, right?
Right. Yeah. You'll
hear people that will say they see feline like entities or goat like entities or all these different things. So for me, it could be even, it's possible in my opinion that these Eliud, these entities that are left here, you know, in that same kind of realm, in that spiritual realm leaning towards the dark side, is it possible that they can take on, this is the form that they choose to show right. up as? And, you know, maybe this was, they wanted to pick this creature because it was the most, you know, intimidating and big and brutish for them. Their parents were Nephilim. They're a step down. So they're like, oh man, you know, I'm not as big. I'm not as strong. I'm not as fast. I don't even have a second row of teeth. I got only got right. five fingers. I mean, I'm not even a ginger. I don't know what to do anymore. Maybe they're like, you know,
I'll go out looking like Esau. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to pick the biggest, baddest flipping thing in the woods. And that's what I'm going to manifest myself to look like.
Yeah, man.
Or, you know, they could just be Jeff Bezos or, you know, anybody in BlackRock or Vanguard.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. They're shapeshifters, man. Shapeshifters.
There's, well, there's lizard people everywhere. Railroads.
Sam.
Yeah, there's lizard people everywhere.
That's what I've heard.
But no, man, I really like that theory. I do. Because it, again, just like Ryan said, nobody can prove you wrong.
Yeah, man, you know, the minute somebody drags out a physical body, I'll back off on that completely. I'll be like, you were right, you know. Or if I just next week, if somebody says something that I like better, I might change my mind and go with that too, you know. I'm not married to this. It's just where I'm at right now.
Open-minded,
you
know? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we just gotta, well, never mind, I won't get into that. But yeah, I really like that theory. I really, really do. I mean, it's one of those things for me, you know, and obviously looking at the world from a biblical worldview, we know the Bible's full of the supernatural. We know that, just like you said, there's a lot of supernatural events that bled over from that spiritual realm to the physical realm. I mean, it just did. It yep. did in a lot of different instances and a lot of different cases. And people just want to be like, oh, well, that was just the Old Testament. That's people writing a bunch of storybooks. Well, you don't get much more supernatural than the New Testament, than the, right. the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That does, you don't get any more supernatural than that.
Right.
You know, for me, it's just like all of this stuff to me has a spiritual feel. It's something that's able to move, and you can call it what you want from whatever, wherever you're looking at this from. You can call it interdimensional or multiversal or, you know, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. But these things, there's too many reports. There's too many accounts from people that these things are just there 1 minute and gone the next. And I'm not just talking about Bigfoot. I'm talking all of these cryptids, all of these hauntings, all of this UFO activity, all of these, everything that's wrapped up in the paranormal. You have so many stories of there 1 minute, gone the next. I saw this, heard this, reached to get my phone, boom, gone. Try to get a witness, and, boom, gone.
And what else? I used the name of Jesus and it left.
Oh, yeah. That's 90% of the time.
You know what I mean? So it's like, okay. I don't know, man. why would you get in a hurry to leave? You know, demons tremble. That's why.
Yeah. You're right.
It all just adds up for me right now, man. Yeah, that's Bigfoot's an Eliud, and I like saying the word Eliud. I sound really smart when I say it.
The Eliud, you know? Eliud.
Well,
it's just a fun word to say.
Yeah, it is. Eliud.
Eliud.
I feel like I feel like Chris Farley in the
Roads.
Limit. Chris Farley, David Spade, one of the best combos ever.
Oh gosh.
But no, I really do. I like that theory. I like that line of thinking because it would explain away, you know, a lot of the, and I'm in the camp of if it brings you fear and anxiety and confusion and chaos and steers you in a direction that's not in what we would think of as a representation of Christ being love and light and compassion and joy and peace, then it's probably of the demonic or some sense, something tied in or around. Because I believe there's a whole lot of entities out there that are just kind of swimming around in that neutral ground.
Right.
That ain't going to plant their flag on in either camp. But
mercenaries.
Yeah, they're mercenaries. They're hitmen. They're just going to work for whoever.
Yeah.
But we also know the Bible says is if you're not with God, then you're with Satan in the world. So,
right.
I mean, you may not plant your flag in a camp, but you've already planted your flag in a camp.
Yeah. Your flag's getting planted.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wild, man. That really is wild.
Yeah, Ryan, you know,
go ahead. Sorry,
I was listening to your old show, man, with Tony, and he's like, "Look, I give the guy one heads up. I'm like, look, Tony, these principalities, man, you got to be careful. That's all I said, you know, because poor Ward is stuck in two different parties here. Everybody's going after principalities, and then Ward's like." Yeah, I'll film it. And I'm like, look, be careful. That's all I said. He's like, Bo's a stick in the mud. He's like, he's a buzzkill. Kiss it, Tony. I still want to be on your show.
You heard it here, folks.
I still want to be on your show.
Well, no. It's just like I told Tony, though. You have to have a bow. You have to have a ward because you got people like me and Tony, and we're hurting over here. Me and Ryan and Lance, we're going head first into everything because they ain't even going to believe half the stuff I'm leading them into to begin with.
That's and how we do.
And even if Lance does have any reservations, I'm just going to talk him into it. I mean, that's what I've done for 20 plus years. That's
what we got the chloroform for.
Yeah. Yeah. That's called compel into compliance.
Yes.
Yes.
But no, I told Tony then, and I'll say it now, and I mean it. You have to have people that don't jump headfirst into everything, that are willing to take that step back and to assess the entire situation and to say, hey, guys, you know what? We might want to game plan this just for a minute. We might want to think about it. We might
want to be careful.
Yeah.
Or the people that jump headfirst into everything vis-a-vis us. Are the people in the headlines that you never hear from again?
You'll correct. Be 411 famous. Yeah.
Yes.
This may be me Friday. I'm not going to put that out there quite yet.
Oh, yeah.
But that we'll may tell be. You, Bo. We'll tell you about it, Bo, probably after the recording, unless I get a wild hair.
I'm this close to being like, I'm sick Friday.
Dude, I'm telling you.
I can't do it now. I said it live.
So. I have orchestrated I've orchestrated this whole thing around.
Oh, boy. It's just like I told Ward. Look, stay prayed up and make sure your intentions are pure for exposing the darkness. And then do whatever you want to do. But just make sure you got that protection, man. Keep the armor on. You
know? Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, in this realm, and You know, it's kind of how, it's what we talked with Tony about too. That's the good thing about being where we are and doing what we do.
Yeah.
We look into so much stuff, dude, and we are so faith driven in what we're doing that we have to stay prayed up. We have to stay in the Word. We have to keep the armor of God on and at the ready, because if not, dude, you've got women in white peeking behind your outbuilding while you're half naked in a hot tub. I mean,
yeah.
Hey,
speaking, I call them crackheads. He calls them demons. But.
Speaking of her, that's who I had notes for, because I thought he might want to get into
Segway.
Yeah.
Look, Bo, I'm professional, son. I'm professional. You are, man. Segue and you don't even know it. Don't even know it's coming.
He didn't even know it was coming, Bo.
Yeah, he's like, wow, that worked out.
It's like, look at that. I knew it.
So let's get into this woman in white that I saw. This she-devil that's wrecked a huge portion of your life. I mean, you don't have to get into the personals of it, but
yeah.
You got notes, bro. Yeah. Let's hit them.
All right. We hit these notes, and I'll read it just like I do to my kids, and I'll put everybody to sleep. All right. So obviously I'm talking about Lilith, right? And yeah, she did wreak havoc on my life. And I felt like I gave her and the devil blame for my daughter leaving. Because things got way deeper than I've discussed on the podcast, but there was a lot of direct correlation. Like, she was trying to summon Lilith, for one. I was finding curses written in Russian in places in her room. Like, things got real dark. Sometimes a diagnosis isn't, I try to get all the professional help I could possibly get, you know, to help her out, but it just is what it is. But every time this entity rears its head or I call it out, things hit home. And so I prayed intensively before we started the show, before I even got on here. Because this gets real serious, man. But the beautiful thing that I found out, I don't know if it's revelation, I don't know if it's studying, I would say that it was given to me, was, you know, how they say that Lilith was the first wife of Adam, right? I think that's 100% a lie. I think that it was written, that whole theory came out in like the 8th to 10th century AD. It was in a book called The Alphabet of Ben Sira. All right. That's where that whole thing came out, that she was the first wife of Adam. Now, what I've discovered through a lot of research is she is like the queen of demons, right? She's the mother of demons is how she's referred to. She was the wife of a son of God, but she was not the wife of Adam. And I think that's where the confusion's at. Because if you dig in here, and I got a whole bunch of references, so I am going to kind of read through this. Just stop me if you want me to jump off at any spot. And let me get out some of this, and it'll explain it. So Lilith was referenced in the Babylonian Talmud, right? In Aramaic and Jewish incantations as a strangler of babies. And that would fit into the whole bloodline wars, in my opinion. She was warded off in prayer with these Jewish incantation bowls as a part of a divorce formula to separate her from people in their families, right? To get her to stop visiting their husbands at night. Or whatever, they would write this prayer in a spiral inside of a bowl. And it was an incantation bowl, and they would use that for ceremonial purposes. But this same entity was found all across Sumerian, Babylonian, Akkadian, all the demonology of those cultures. And the Lelitu was the male, or the female, sorry. And the Lelu was the male version, right? So you have Lelitu, Lilith, the female, Lelu is the male, which I just found out last night talking to somebody on my show that Gilgamesh, everybody's heard of Gilgamesh, right? His granddad, no. Yeah, he's two-thirds demon. What they said, right? He's two-thirds God, little g God. His grandpa was Lelu. So, yeah.
Oh, and somehow she still,
yeah, she found her way into that story.
Well, that makes a little bit of sense because Gilgamesh is also, a lot of people think Gilgamesh is Nimrod. Yes. Nimrod's wife. Oh crap! What was her name? Something with an S.
Asheroth, right?
Maybe. I knew there was an S in there somewhere. But anyway, I'm pretty sure Nimrod and his wife were thought to be as gods. You know, little g yep. gods. They were building cities. They were building Babel. They were doing all this different stuff. And she was like. Yeah, that's wild, dude. That's
I was wrong. Yeah. It is Semiramis, not Asheroth.
Semiramis, that's it. I knew it was an S.
Who was actually negatively portrayed, but generally Semiramis was viewed positively before the rise of Christianity. We didn't see her getting a negative connotation until after the rise of Christianity.
Yeah, all demons were viewed in positivity before Christianity.
Yeah.
They were the gods.
Hence the
flood. In the Middle Ages, she has become associated with promiscuity and lustfulness.
And snatching babies.
Oh, yep. My.
Baby snatchers.
All right, go on, Bo. Sorry about that.
Yeah, well, the guy that told me about this Gilgamesh and Lelu connection, have you had Justin Brown on the show?
Uh-uh. Nope.
He's got a podcast called Prometheus Lens.
I'll check him out.
Dude blew my mind. Like, astounded me. I won't go into details because I'm putting out an awesome episode in about 3 weeks. It's killer. All right. So yeah, Lelu is the male equivalent. In other texts of the period, Hellenistic texts and the Testament of Solomon, the same entity is also called Obazoth or Abizu. And there's two different ways to spell that, but it's the same attributes given to this queen of demons, this mother of demons, in all cultures. So it has to be the same entity, right?
Right.
Abizu, by the way, means by the sea.
Okay.
And that's important, too. Okay?
She's old.
Remember watching Dark Holler, and they had all these water references and stuff?
Yeah.
And they started thinking about Lilith and... Okay.
Yep.
Keep all that in mind, too, man. She's known as the slayer of children and the seducer of men because she would appear as a succubus. That's another thing this guy was talking to me about. He said, I mentioned Lilith, you know, and he's like, man, I had a horrible dream about Lilith. He said, I dreamt that there was this big bird in the road eating something. He said, and I pulled up on it. He said, and it turned around and it was this naked woman in the front. And he said, had almost like a beak for a mouth. And she walked up to my truck and started licking me on my neck and grabbing me. And he said, I slammed her head against the truck door. And he said, when she screamed, it woke me up. He said, but I had sleep paralysis. I couldn't move. So, yeah, she's still doing her thing. So, seducer of men. I don't even know if he told me about that on air or not, but that was a wild story. She's depicted just like that, having a woman's head and face, torso, but wings and talons for feet, half woman, half bird. The same description as a siren. And here's where it gets cool, right? the Septuagint equates Lilith with siren terminology. But what's awesome about this, I'm probably going to get off my notes. I'll just sum up because I got like two more pages. In Enoch 19, it says, yeah, man, I went after this because I'm done with her. I'm done. There is no intimidation left. In Enoch 19, it says that the wives of these watchers become sirens.
Oh, man. It
tells you flat out.
Huh.
So Lilith is acknowledged in the Septuagint as a siren. Enoch tells you the wives of watchers become sirens. She's claiming to be the first wife of the first son of God, Adam, right? But she is the wife of a son of God, and it's Samael. He was one of the chief watchers. Samael, which is basically the equivalent in that day of Babylonian time of Satan.
Right.
So, yeah, she's a bad girl, but she's not the wife of Adam.
Well, think about all the references, and you talked about, you know, the siren connection and the name being, you know, by the sea or of the sea or whatever, you know, throughout Greek mythology, all these sirens were always, you know, leading these boats astray. You know, you can look at the Odyssey and the Iliad and all these. Well, think about just as recent as this. Okay, we're talking about Homer's The Odyssey.
Uh-huh.
All right. So we're talking 1,000 years ago. And then a more recent release of content with the Newkirk's Unbinding,
mm-hmm.
when they're talking about this goddess,
uh-huh.
Makosh or Mokosh,
right?
And how they didn't talk about this. I went and done my own research on this. She was a water demon. She snatched babies. She was vampiric. She would draw men to the water and she would drain them of their life force, or what they call the energy vampire or whatever. She would just get what she needed from them.
And on that note of Luciferian Wicca beliefs, right? Because that's what that is. That's not just like I believe that trees are beautiful and it's part of nature and we should respect that kind of Wicca. You know, I'm not talking about earth, whatever. I'm talking about these Luciferian agenda witches that are out here doing black magic. They worship her as a goddess still yet here in Appalachia. Yeah.
Yep.
She's highly revered, and her, you know, she's associated with water, with the moon, which affects the tides, right? With the night, with cats, owls, hyena, all these other creatures. And here I go trying to say I know something again, but I'm going to tell you what I think, because there is another watery death here in my home state that happened around 1967, right? The Silver Bridge collapse. That people accredited, you know, they connect it to the Mothman. Well, if we were to describe the Mothman, it would sound like one of these half owl, half human creatures. They never said that, you know, the Mothman has the head and torso of a woman, but there's Lilu. There's the male version of these things. So I surmise that Lilu and Lilith are deified here in Appalachia. They erect statues to them. They hold festivals to them. They slap them on every decal. I got a figurine of it up here. They're everywhere. And I don't care. I don't think that they care if we call them Mothman, as long as we're worshiping them. I think it's these same entities I think it's the same entity that was found. There was a charm on, supposedly a charm on the necklace of one of these Native American burial sites here in downtown Logan. If you drive through downtown Logan, there's this giant, almost like a Thunderbird logo on some of the buildings for whatever reason. I think that this same creature is being worshipped. I think it's the Lilith, the Lilu. And I think that they're trying to give it, you know, the same energy, man. So yeah, I think all of that's connected. And the another great thing is the Bible calls out Lilith a couple of times. In Isaiah 34, they talk about, you know, some versions say screech owl or whatever, or night bird. Some versions say Lilith. Psalm 91, you will not be afraid of the terror by night. That was the Lilitu. That was Lilith. That's specifically a demon that they're referring to. You will not be afraid of Lilith, because the arrow that flies by day, the pestilence that stalks in darkness, the destruction that lays waste at noon, those next three that they talk about, those are other demons by name.
Yeah.
So she's legit. She's around. But she is the whore of a watcher. She is not the wife of Adam. She's exposed. Darkness exposed. It's fraudulent, you know.
So you also heard it here first. Yeah, I'm glad you prayed a lot too. So you also heard it here first too, folks. Lilith is a whore.
Just a stupid bird.
Yeah.
So Bigfoot is the grandbaby of the watcher, and Lilith is a whore that created some of these things.
Technically, it'd be her grandchild, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
At least one of them.
And I think this qualifies me for a crazy check, too. So let's make sure we get this recorded.
No, dude.
What's up?
Oh, my gosh. I just had a holy crap.
Do it.
How many of these stories? Okay. All right. So, based on what we've just talked about, you believe that at least some of these big feats are the grandchildren, are the children of Nephilim. We'll say
absolutely. That. Eliuds.
Which their mother or that's grandmother. Yeah, Eliud. That's a good word. The mother or grandmother could have been these Lilitu spirits, these Lilitu entities.
Yes, there were at least sirens. Yeah.
How many stories, and I can think of two right off the cuff that are pretty well known. One of them's famous, and the other is pretty well known, to where there's this woman in white, crone-like entity that controls a pack or several Bigfoot.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Tying everything you said together, I blew my own mind thinking about it. Because, look at Ape Canyon. All right.
Yep.
Ape Canyon is out there in every Bigfoot, you know, it's in every book, it's in every story, every collection of Bigfoot stories. They talk about Ape Canyon. You have these miners, they go out. They're mining gold in California. They see a Bigfoot in the day. They pop a shot off at him. It pisses him off. He goes out and gets his buddies. They surround the cabin at night. They throw a bunch of rocks. You know, they terrorize these miners for a whole night. You know, that's the story that you always hear. The rest of the story, like I'm Paul Harvey here, what you don't hear about is these guys, when they first get out there, they meet this giant native spirit that tells them to look for an arrow in the sky. They look for an arrow in the sky. They meet this woman in white spirit who they called Vanderwhite. They adored her so much to the point that they named the mine Vanderwhite. She was beloved to them, but directly after they go into these mines, they start getting attacked by these, by this pack of Bigfoot. Okay. That's one account. Now, they didn't go in that, that I've found and describe this woman in white, you know, in vast, but you know, you hear a lot of these woman in white stories and it always sounds like some Lilitu spirit, some Lilith spirit.
Yeah.
Okay. I heard on Wes's show, this has been a while back.
Years ago.
Timothy Renner.
Yep.
And another guy who was actually, I actually sent him an email one time trying to get him on, but he was the head of MUFON in the state of Virginia for a long time. But throughout his time and investigating cases, he went really hard into his Catholic faith because he was under the impression that a lot of this stuff was demonic. So Timothy Renner, well, actually they were on the show, but Wes was the one telling the story. These two brothers had this property and they were being terrorized by these, this group of Bigfeets.
Yep.
They're being terrorized. But at the same time, this woman in, well, they called her like a homeless looking woman in white. Like yep. her clothes were tattered. She just this old crone depiction, but they said that she had stolen shoes.
Yep.
And Wes asked him, well, what's the difference in stolen shoes and regular shoes? How do you know? And they said they were just way too big for her feet. They were like 5-6 sizes too big for her feet. Yep. And then I think Timothy Renner comes on and says, well, a lot of people see that, and it's because they say that she's hiding her bird feet.
Bird feet.
Yeah.
Yep.
But in this account, this woman walks by them. They try to, they said that she would walk from the national park area across their property up to the mountains where these Bigfeets was going crazy. And that they, she was walking by one night and one of the brothers hollered at her and said, hey, look, you need to be careful up there. You know, these things are real, legit. And she gave him a menacing smile, kept right on up the mountain and then just disappeared.
Yep.
So they were under the impression that she was in cahoots. Holy crap, dude. This is wild. This is nuts.
It was just her grandmother hanging out with her grandchildren.
That's it.
They took it too far.
That's old Mama Lily up there hanging.
let me add this a little bit, fellas. I have been in contact with a local Wiccan here.
Oh,
in snap. The greater Appalachian area. And I'm working on getting her to come on the show. Like actively working. It's been a process. She's very reserved, but super nice lady. And I'm breaking down the barriers. Okay. And I've got some stories from her of which she has spent time with some Native American folk over in Eastern Kentucky area, which I didn't even know there were any over there, but apparently there are. And she has gone through like sweat lodges with them and done a bunch of Native American rituals. And she actively says like the magic is real. Like I've seen things happen, like not like Harry Potter magic. I've seen things happen that should not have happened. Okay. Now she claims that she has been able to identify her spirit animal through these rituals and things she has done with these Native Americans. Okay, and just hang with me for a second, because I'm gonna tie this in. And that when she's obviously still in contact with them and still does some stuff with them, but one of the things that the older Native Americans have asked her is that when she's in these states of trance or whatever you want to call it, they've asked her if she has seen or met the giant spirits yet. And she says no, right? She has not met them yet. But she was intrigued by it, so she kind of asked them some more information about like what giant spirits, what are you talking about, right? So one of the older gentlemen, that she has developed a pretty good relationship with, essentially told her, you know, I'm going to paraphrase this a little bit because I don't have all my notes with me that I took down. But essentially that there are spirits here, and by spirits, I'm under the impression like old gods, right, that are giants, and that they are, there's a group of them that kind of are in the area. Okay. And by area, I mean like our part of Appalachia that we live in, and that they have a leader or a person that they kind of, not bow to, but kind of listen to, and their leader or their person in charge of them essentially is an old woman that is also in spirit form, that if you reach that level of whatever it is, I don't know all the link, but that she is kind of like the one in charge of the realm that is even over these big giant old spirit gods or whatever. And this is her talking, not me, right? I'm not saying any of this is true. I'm just giving her account. And that identifying markers of this woman are extremely large feet that are never able to be really seen because they always seem to be covered.
See?
Now, this woman, like, I mean, she tells you this stuff like it's the truth. She could be feeding me a line, right? I don't know. But some of the things that she has told me and one of the other guys that I know that knows her a whole lot better than I do, has been in some pretty intense old school Native American rituals in which they have experienced some pretty amazing out of this world things. But she is not experiencing any of these things herself. She's just getting the information from older Native American as seen in these trances, this woman that, you know, one of the things he didn't mention her clothes or anything like that, but it was like one of the things he said was like, she's really like unusually large feet that are always like, you don't actually see them. You just can tell they're unusually large. And that's like now, like right now, like in the last couple of years, she's had these conversations with these people. I'm trying to get her to come on.
All these connections.
She's got some stories.
All these connections, man. It's like a hierarchy of demonology, just like there's a hierarchy of angels, like an order of angels. You got these Lilitus over the Eliud, you know, and that would make perfect sense because they would be the mother or grandmother of these Eliud.
Yeah.
He's Bigfoot. So Bigfoot works for Lilith. That's where we're at. Bigfoot works for sirens.
That's where we're at.
I think this may be a groundbreaking episode right here.
I think so. We learn new words. Eliud. Antediluvian.
I don't think anybody said antediluvian.
Oh, I just was thinking did. It. They are antediluvian, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. They're the disembodied spirits of the drowned Nephilim.
Yeah. I just don't know how they're not drowned.
The spirits?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, the spirits.
With the big feet.
Well, that's that came after
portals, Ryan. Man. Portals.
Bigfoot
man.
Went on the ark, Ryan. That's portals. How Bigfoot went on the ark as a creation.
I can
of God.
See knowing now. See them coming like, ah, shit. Did I say two pigs? I meant 80. We got to feed these big feet.
Look, you hear him talk about Esau. Esau sounded like a big feet. He was covered in red fur.
Yep. Man, you
kind of dumb.
Just brown on your show, man.
When you go back to Gilgamesh and Enkidu, that's how they described him as well.
Okay, I just want to tell you, Justin Brown connects Enkidu to Esau.
Really?
Like, in a legit way. Because Nimrod and Gilgamesh, he said Gilgamesh just flipped the story of Gilgamesh, where he, like, tames and becomes friends with Enkidu. He said they just flipped the story because Esau actually kills Nimrod.
I've heard that. There's actually a, well, I mean, it's definitely not a biblical source, but there was a piece of literature that came out, well, a long, 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 long time ago. And one of these stories in it was that Esau was a hunter, but he wasn't just a hunter of flesh for food, that he was a hunter of men and hitmen, and he was big and powerful.
Yes.
Because
the book of Jasher.
Jasher. That's it. The book of Jasher. Was that in the Dead Sea Scrolls? Was the book of Jasher one of the Dead Sea Scrolls?
I think so. I got it ordered on Amazon. I had it already and I gave it away. So I had to reorder it. But yeah, Esau kills Nimrod and two of his Gibeorim, two of his mighty men. It's insane. And this Justin that I have on the show, he ties it all in together. And it blew my mind.
Dude.
So there's some more of that.
This episode blew my mind. I mean, I thought that I knew what we were going to get into. I had no idea the connections that were going to be made. And then Lance comes in here and blows everything out of the water with an even further connection of this hierarchy of this Lilitu spirit operating with giant spirits. What does that sound like? Sounds like the same thing that we're talking about. I wonder if these giants are hairy.
Yep. You know it.
Dude, this is wild, man.
Yeah, man.
Gosh, this is wild. Okay, yeah. So I don't even know what, I'm not speechless very often, but I think this is one of those that you just tie a bow on it and say, all right, look, that's what we've got. Holy crap. But what, okay. All right, tying this even a little further, I'm seriously not trying to drag us into this gigantic cosmic puzzle that's here or anything. But let's look at the Ape Canyon story.
Okay.
These guys see this giant native spirit. So they had some kind of contact with something in the spiritual realm that told them, look for this sign. They see this Vanderwaite. They go to this mine. They find this mine. They're getting gold. And as soon as that happens, Katie bar the door, son. Big feet start trying to murder every one of them. Okay. Us boys here are looking for a lost silver mine. I saw a woman in white. And I mean, it freaked me out. But I didn't feel like it freaked me out because she was there, but I didn't feel like that, you know, she was just going to come and murder me or whatever. You know, it wasn't that kind of interaction. It was like, she was there. I was there. She popped up in the space, but it was almost in a way of, I mean, we made eye contact, like almost in a way of, hey, you know, I'm here. Talk to me. Let's figure this out. I don't even know how to explain it. It sounds ridiculous, but I did the opposite. I didn't adore this Vanderwaite. I was like, nope, I know what you are. I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Then I leave. I see this owl perched on the building beside of where she was.
That was still her. Yeah.
But it's weird, man. Like it's weird. So in both of these cases, we're talking some kind of contact through that realm that is given signals or signs or clues about, hey, look here, go check this out. Then we have a woman in white show up. I mean, we obviously haven't found the mine yet, and we haven't found any silver yet. We're really working on it. But now it leads me to think, if I do this, is Bigfeet's going to try to crush my house? I mean,
yep,
I don't know anymore. I don't know anymore. Man, I don't know. This has been a wild one.
It's fun.
Bo, you got anything more for us?
No, man. I think that's it. It's just been a lot of fun to get this stuff off my chest, man. I've been sitting on some of this for a while, and some of it's been, you know, more recent, but I just, it feels good. I appreciate you for inviting me on, let me come on here and throw out a couple of insanely plausible theories.
Well, dude, I'm glad you did, because this has been a banger that I didn't even dream was going to go to the depths that it went. I mean, I don't know, dude. I'm going to have to take some time to wrap my brain around all this. We may have to do a part two whenever my brain fully develops what I've heard here tonight.
Hey, look, there's a whole lot more about this character too, man. About there's three angels that were sent to her. There's like an incantation you can still say, supposedly to ward her off. There's a, you know, we can dig into these crones, because there's another story too of a woman, or maybe it's the same one. It was off, I think it was Wes's show, where she turned into like a bobcat with human eyes. I think it was like a woman in white too, connected to Bigfoot. And you know, these cats, that's all Lilith terminology too. Maybe we just need to get a hold of these episodes, dig through them, look for more context clues, and weave them into this tapestry, man. And
yeah,
do a part two.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we could definitely do that. Well, I mean, you and I both know that she's legit. Yeah. I mean, you and I both know that she is able to. Well, I mean, you said it best. She's still worshipped today by a multitude of people in our area. I mean, she just is.
Yeah.
I mean, shoot, you were part of you made a cameo in an entire docuseries that was geared and centered right around it with Dark Holler.
Yeah, man.
I mean, you have this lady, Kristen, who was literally worshiping this Lilith entity. And it wasn't only her, it was her uncle. And, you know, it goes generations and generations and generations.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's still a figure that's worshiped today, intentionally and maybe unintentionally, with this whole Mothman thing and how it's been deified.
Yeah.
There's a lot to get into, and I know that, you know, people are probably tired of listening to us talk about this she-devil, but look, man, just got to call it for what it is.
I mean, that's the reality of it, man. And the important thing is, here I go with my buzzkill. Pray for y'all's family tonight. You know what I mean? Because if she can't come with us, trust me, man. Just pray a hedge of protection around your families. Plead the blood of Jesus over your families. And, you know, I know we exposed it. We talked about it. Had fun with it. And it is fun and it's exciting. But it is very serious, man. Just let's pray for each other and pray for our families. And just keep doing what we're called to do. Because I think this is what we're called to do. We're all here together for a reason, man.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. Well, Bo, before we, well, let's Lance has been said he's got some things on his mind. Lance, what do you got on your mind? What do you want to close this thing out with before we let Bo wrap up here and tell everybody where to find him?
I think Bo just said it best. Like, there's a legitimate threat in the spiritual realm that will attack and has attacked and will continue to attack because that's what it does. That's from the beginning of time. That's what it has done. And that's what it will continue to do. There is a active plan to thwart the overall sovereign plan of God. And there's a variety of ways in which that plan is being carried out. We're in the fight as well. And it's our job to be good soldiers in that fight. Even that means we're on the front lines, right? Maybe we're not, but if we are, our job is to make sure we're doing our job.
Yeah.
Make sure that things are being prayed about, that things are being thought with deeply and with serious concern. Because, you know, yes, we know how the story ends, but it doesn't mean that it ain't blood and guts till it gets there. And it's our job to make sure that we're living the correct way and making sure that we're making, you know, conscious efforts to keep ours and your alls and everybody's protected by praying and continuing to seek the truth and continuing to be righteous soldiers for the cause.
Amen.
Amen. I love it.
And when we get to part two, I have a little bit of a theory of that, why Lilith and this entity is becoming more prevalent in today's society with a lot of, I'll just say it, a lot of the transgender push that's being forced on our children, of men trying to be women, women trying to be men. I think that is a convolution of this Lilith entity's way of entering itself into the physical realm. But that's for part two.
Cliffhanger.
Yep.
I feel like Sylvester Stallone right now. Wow. Well, Bo, man, this has been awesome. And the cool thing about it was we wrapped up so much stuff in a not so crazy great amount of time. I mean, it was all well geared and driven, straightforward. But I think it was one of those conversations that there's no need to carry it out anymore. There's a need for a part two when we all wrap our minds around what we've talked about and can come back and sit back down again. But dude, hearing your experience and hearing, you know, your theories on, well, I was going to say these two different topics, but these interconnected entities, we'll call them, has been awesome, dude. It's been awesome. And I like where your head's at. I like how it was delivered. And I think that it makes a whole lot of sense. I think that it makes a ton of sense. And I believe the Hill folk probably will too. This is probably going to be one of those that people listen to two or three times. But anyway, man, this has been a blast. We appreciate you so much for coming on again. And somehow, almost 100 episodes deep, your first real appearance on AI. I have no idea how that's, I mean, I don't know. We've dropped the ball on that one somehow.
It's okay. I clearly just love you more than you love me.
Oh, here we go. First Tony's bashing me. Now Bo's bashing me. Keep bringing on guests that just bash. No, man, we do appreciate you. We love you. Before we jump off here, let all the Hill folk know where to find you, how to get in contact with you, and how much you love us.
Awesome. I love you with all my heart. I'll start with that. Yeah. You can holler if you want to, if you have an experience you'd like to share, anything of the unexplained, monsters, paranormal, demonic attack, alien abduction, holler at me. You can come on the show. We'll talk about it. At thebumppodcast@gmail.com. You can get a hold of me that way. All social media. I check my emails about, I don't know, 8 or 10 times a day, probably in class periods. I'm on Instagram a lot. You can holler at me on there. If you want to call me, I have the Bump phone. It's 304-812-0553. I'm on all podcast platforms, the Bump Podcast. My logo, I might need to change it now, but it looks kind of like a Bigfoot with headphones on. So it'll be easy to find. And I don't think I'm leaving anything off. All social media, YouTube, all of it. It shouldn't be too hard. I'm sure you can find me if you want to. And I'd love it. I'd love it if you did.
Yeah, definitely go check him out, Hill Folk. Which, you know, if you're here, there's a pretty good chance you've already checked him out. Bo is a brother from another Appalachian mother. I had to throw that in there. That was too good to leave out. But he's been a brother to us. He's been so great to us. You know, again, like I said earlier, he was one of the very first podcasters that decided to bring us on and let us share our stories and collab with and get our name out there when we were just a couple peons. Well, I mean, we still are just a few peons, but you know, when we were even more peed upon, I guess we'll say. Bo was one of the first ones that brought us in there. I mean, we're forever grateful to Bo for that. And the best thing about Bo is that's not how it was ever taken. It's not how it was ever portrayed, was, hey, I'm doing y'all a favor by bringing you on my show. It was just from the get-go, it was brothers sitting down, talking about weird stuff, sharing life together, loving it on each other, and saying, you know what? We're in this fight together. We need each other. Let's keep pushing forward. And I love it. We've been in contact, I mean, throughout the last couple years now, man, over all kinds of different stuff. I mean, y'all, when these recordings come out, it's a small percentage of the conversations that are had. But we're forever grateful to him. Bo, again, we thank you so much for coming on the show. Hill Folk, you know where you can find us. You can check us out on all the socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Discord, YouTube. You can send us your stories at AppalachianIntelligence@gmail.com. We're super, super busy right now, so if it takes us a little while to respond back to those, please be patient with us. I promise we'll get back to you. If you would like to come on the show for an interview, just put that in the subject title or put it somewhere throughout the email to make it clear that not only do I want to share my story, but I would like to come on the show and share my story. Because a lot of times that gets caught up in the mix a little bit. You know, we've been on a couple shows recently that we got flooded with emails directly after, and trying to go through those and go back and forth and decide, you know, who just wants to say their piece and who wants to come on the show is a little tough to do. So if you would like to come on, speak to us, sit down, have an interview, get it out there, please make that known in the email. You can support us a couple of different ways. You can support us financially over on the Patreon at patreon.com/Appalachian_intelligence. You can click the support the show link in the show notes, make a one-time donation. Everything is greatly appreciated when it comes to that end, because it allows us to do things that we love to do, like this Friday when I'm going on a little adventure. That we'll make clear at a later date. But the biggest way that you can support us is by sharing the show. Share the show however you're most comfortable sharing it. That's the only way the show grows. And y'all have done a tremendous job of that over the last couple of years. This show has, it's went places and that I never, ever, ever dreamed that it would go. And it just continues to grow somehow, some way. I don't know. I give the credit to guys like Bo who are willing to sit down and talk to us a bunch of idiots. But it's y'all. It's y'all spreading it. It's y'all sharing it. It's people like Bo, our other podcasting buddies that bring us on. And we love all y'all for it. We do. We love You Heal Folk. We just do. We can't help it. We love you.
Whether you like it or not.
That's right. Lance,
love that was you even harder.
Yeah. Lance, that was your part right there.
Love you, Smina.
Heal Folk. Until next time, we'll see y'all.